Welcome. Welcome to another Loftus Party podcast. I'm delighted. It's actually, I got no problem starting the show in the middle of a laugh. You'll never know what it's about. You'll never know. You could be someday in person. Yeah, I'm pretty hammered. No, I'm in a great mood. I'm in a very good mood. I'm laid back. I'm even keeled. I did some stand up last night. Did some stand up on Friday. Things are going well. Stoked about the future. And I'm in a good spot. I'm in a good spot emotionally. How are you doing in Gypsy Land?
Pretty good. We had a meatball day on Friday. Yeah. So, we get one more meatball day this summer, sometime in September. Then we got to close down the boat. But summer meatball days are the best.
I don't know what a meatball day is. For a second there, I thought I knew. And then, obviously, as you continued talking, I'm like, I have no idea what a meatball day is. Like, that was a very odd sentence. We had a meatball day, and then we're going to have to close down the boat. That's just an odd, I'm playing catch up. Hey, catch up on a meatball.
It's, we play hooky from work. We just disappear, and we get the pontoon boat out on my friend's lake that's not monitored, and bring some adult beverages and some food, and then we just hang out for 5 or 6 hours and do girl stuff.
But how? What is that? What is that to do with meatballs?
Well, because what it used to be is we would all like decide to play hooky from work when we just had enough, and we would meet at our local watering hole, and everybody would bring food, and it just so happens that one of my best friends makes these incredible Swedish meatballs, and she'd bring a whole crock pot of them. And so it became known as meatball days, and so we just still call them meatball days.
And I like how you just assume that I'm in on you and your girlfriend's lingo. Like, you have this private inside joke about what a meatball day is, and you're just like bandying it about, and I'm like, yeah, meatball day.
People who follow me on Twitter and Facebook kind of know what a meatball day is, so I forget that I haven't explained it to. So,
well, I'm all down with meatball days. I'm totally
meatball days are the best.
That's a good lingo, and you can have your own. You could have like you listening at home. If you like decide to play hooky from work and go relax and do some day drinking, maybe that's a wing day. Maybe that's a
nacho
maybe that's
day.
A wing day. Nacho day. We could go down the list.
Stuffed jalapeno day. That's usually what I bring. So,
man, I used to be the biggest stuffed jalapeno guy. This okay. Just by the way, you guys, I'm keenly aware of, like, I hate starting podcasts like this. Just know that, like, normally I don't. It's like, oh my gosh, they're talking about recipes. This is not why I subscribe to the show. This is not why I want to listen. But you know what this is? This is a glimpse. This is like some inner circle stuff.
Right.
People want, seriously, you're on the inside. The Gypsy's
very popular.
You are now
a part of my life.
The Gypsy's very popular on the Twitters and the Facebooks of things. And this is the Loftus Party, for the love. You're getting the inside scoop. I'm going to tell you about the inner workings of stand-up. We'll talk about what's coming up on the show. So maybe you're listening to this on a meatball day of your own. We're going to be talking about the Obamas. And their wealth and global warming and the beach house. We're going to be talking about the PragerU lawsuit that's coming up with YouTube, stuff that's going on with my YouTube, stuff that's going on with stand-up, the new comedy shows that I'm doing and hitting the road and who's going on. I have some intense feelings about the new Rise of Skywalker Star Wars poster. That one just gets me crazy.
You have intense feelings about Star Wars? Really?
I really do. I really do. And I also have intense feelings about the Avengers. And I'm watching that movie again. It just came out on Blu-ray and DVD. So I've been watching that. But you know, it's a long movie. I'm stretching it out over like 3 nights. I'm making it last. We'll be talking about that. The President of the United States. We're going to be talking about the First Lady of the United States. It's going to be a fun show. You're going to have a good time.
We got to talk about Tater, too.
Tater. Now, every time, see, here's another, this is like me, Paul Day. When you say tater, I go straight to Ron White. I go straight to tater salad. But no, you're no, talking.
Tater is Brian Stelter's nickname, short for potato.
If you want to laugh, if you want to have a solid laugh, go to YouTube and go to, I think the guy's name is Mark Dice. And he does something that is just so insanely funny. I could watch it every day and just laugh and laugh and laugh. He takes clips of Brian Stelter or whatever the heck the guy's name is on CNN, Tater, as you call him. He takes out the audio, and then he redoes the audio. It's the exact same words. It's the exact same words. But he does it in a really high-pitched voice. It's the dumbest, stupidest, most Three Stoogey thing ever, but it is hilarious. It is hilarious.
Oh, he's also known as the Human Thumb.
Who is that dude? Seriously, who is that dude?
Brian Stelter? He used to write about social media for the New York Times, and somehow he got a show called Reliable Sources on CNN, which is full of, like, the least reliable information I've ever heard. But he and Oliver Darcy are both so obsessed with Fox News, it's insane.
Well, like, it's like a lousy radio show. You know, this is how, like, it's like local radio. When you're the new radio station and you're not getting any ratings, you start trying to pick a fight with the DJs on the popular station, and those guys just never acknowledge your existence. But like, this is a great segue into Andy McCabe. This was just a great confluence of events, and I'm telling you, the left loves to talk about being on the right side of history. You want to be on the right side of history. Well, if you're not a fan of CNN, I truly believe that we are on the right side of history. What they just did, first of all, congratulations to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She got she's a contributor now to Fox News. So it happens. Like, listen, George Stephanopoulos on ABC. It's that happens a lot. This is not, they're not reinventing the wheel. You're the spokesman. You're the press person for the White House. You have a position in the White House. Boom, you go straight to, you know, a news organization. So the day after, and Twitter's just blowing up. They hired her. I can't believe. Oh, now it all makes sense. Propaganda, propaganda. Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. And then the next day, CNN hires Andrew McCabe, who was fired from the FBI for lying. The attorney, what do they call that? The investigator general,
Inspector general.
Inspector general. Yeah, the IG. They couched it. They're like, he wasn't as forthcoming as he should have been. That's how they said it.
He was recommended for charges.
And there's a very good chance. There's a very good chance he will be subpoenaed. He'll get in a lot of trouble. I mean, it's a very real possibility. If Big Billy Barr, the attorney general, goes for it, there's a chance that this guy could be looking at jail time. Mm-hmm. And CNN hires him as an analyst.
That is
just the height. I don't know if you needed to think, I wonder if CNN's propaganda. Seriously, if you were a news organization, would you literally hire a dude who was like lost his job for lying? And this dude worked for the FBI? That's just, it's a joke. It's a joke. CNN is a cartoon. It is just straight up anti-Trump propaganda. If you watch that show and believe anything they're saying, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Well, there I said.
Not only did they, okay, so one day everybody at CNN is melting down because Sarah Huckabee Sanders was hired by Fox and Sean Spicer is going to go on Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're normalizing Nazi sympathizers. You people are insane. You're crazy. Shut your mouths. The next day they hire Andrew McCabe and just took an absolute freaking beating, right? So this morning on the Human Thumb show, he actually had a panel defending the decision to hire Andrew McCabe.
Of course.
But before that, he had a panel with the former head of the psychiatric department, like the psych college at Duke, calling the president crazy, insane, da-da-da-da-da, completely violating the Goldwater Rule, which was set back in the 70s by the American Psychological Association, and Tater didn't even offer up an objection. He took a beating this morning and then said, oh, we were having technical difficulties, so I didn't hear he said that. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
That's,
you sat there and said how important it was to have the difficult conversation about the president's mental status. Well, you know what? It's completely against every professional standard in the profession to comment on the mental health of a public figure you've never examined. Like, you can actually lose your license for that.
They've been doing it for months and months and months.
Oh,
and I remember when it first started, I was just like, this is wrong. This is horrible. Blah, 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 blah. And they just keep doing it. Holy smoke. Morning Joe the other day. Like, this, no, I guess we're just going to keep it's bizarre to watch. And it really makes me want to, like, get together with a group of my friends who I know didn't vote for Trump. And then just go, so what do you think? Like, I'm honestly curious. I'm legitimately intellectually curious about, like, how do you frame that? Like, you called the president a traitor for 2.5 years. And you're like, oh, he's going to jail. The Mueller report is coming. Oh, he's going to jail. You've been singing that song. Yeah. Oh, they're circling. This is the end of days. This is the beginning of the end. And then the Mueller report comes out. And nothing happens. No charges. No collusion. We'll leave obstruction aside for a second. I'll give my liberal friends that, you know. But just the Russian collusion thing. So that did not happen. That did not happen.
Not
and then
at all.
For Joe and Mika to go on the air just like 2 days ago. Well, we know that Trump is in the hand. He's Putin's puppet. It's obvious. It's like, how can you still, like, how can you still be talking about that? Like, where that's like zero, like beyond zero integrity. It's just like when you think they can't go lower, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Well, here's the one that's got me mad, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's just, except for, like, continue to live your best life and to try to be a good person and just keep being cool. It's the whole, you know, they've gone from Russia. They've gone to racist and the racist thing and taken Trump quotes out of context and this whole disloyalty thing. I have like solid friends of mine who I've been really close with since high school, since flipping high school. And you see these people like, and these are intelligent people. And I'll dance around. I don't know if he listens to the podcast. I hope he does, because he'll know who I'm talking about. This dude served in the Navy, extremely bright on a submarine crew, like extremely intelligent. This is a smart guy. And he posts this crap on Facebook just trying to make, like, literally he has a picture of Hitler and a picture of Trump. And he's like, hey, Trump supporters, how can you defend Trump calling Jews disloyal? Isn't, you know, and he's like, it's just like Hitler. And I'm just like, I posted, normally I just scroll by that stuff, but I know this guy isn't stupid. And so this is an on purpose thing. And he's like, got his own like personal, you know, propaganda war. And I'm just like, dude, I lost so much respect for this dude. I lost so much respect for him. And it's really like, I didn't like unfriend him or anything, because this too shall pass. But I'm just like, wow, you know better and you're still going for it. You know it's not true and you're still going for it. And that's just, it's just what's going on in the media in on a micro scale. It was like kind of a bummer. I don't want to do a bummed out show today. I want to do an upbeat, optimistic.
No, Brian Stelter is ridiculous. I think the last ratings that came out, the first show of CNN's that even, like, ranks is, like, number 27th or something.
That's their top-rated show. That's their top-rated show.
That's their top-rated show. Like, I don't even understand at this point how they're still on the air. And the biggest problem with CNN, you expect what Joe and Mika were saying if you watch MSNBC, because MSNBC doesn't lie about who they are. They don't.
Yeah.
CNN freaking lies. They are not a dispassionate news organization.
That's the horrible thing about it. That's the really, like, none of it is, it's just a big giant opinion show wrapped up in, it's fake news. It's fake news. It really is.
Half their viewership is because you're forced like a hostage to watch them in the airports.
Yeah, yeah, I tell you, take away those ratings, you take away the ratings from airports and hotels.
And bars.
It is game over. It is game over. All right, so this happened recently, and I thought this was very funny. And this was like, I'm tucking it into the new stand-up set. I was down at Comedy and Magic, working on some new material. I just hunkered down and did it. It's a fun night. You go down there and it's on Fridays and Saturday nights. It's their, you know, all the best of all star shows. It's like, it's not a showcase night. Showcase night makes it sound like it's a bunch of open micers. These are like people who've been around the block and, you know, they've been doing stand up for a long time. So it's kind of an all star show. But there's like 10 people. You do 8 minutes a piece. And so there's the thing with your ego, where you just want to do well. You just want to do well because your friend just went up and they're a great comic and they just crushed it. And you're like, well, I'm going to crush too. And so it's, you have to kind of want to make a deal with yourself. But you also want the other comics to know, I'm working on new stuff. as like a defense shield. So I did this video for YouTube because, you know, I do the two a week on the YouTube. But like Obama bought a beach house. But like that to me, he shelled out $15 million for this house on Martha's Vineyard. It's right by the ocean, and that was just like so comedically wonderful. I have a bit about that. I did a video about it, and so it looks like that's going to go. Like I'm no longer the joke is, it's not like the joke, but the premise is, you know, I'm not worried about global warming anymore because Obama just bought a $15 million beach house, right? It's like obviously he's not concerned either.
No,
in 2013. In 2013, he had the presidential climate change action plan. He legit, like in 2013, the presidential action plan from the Obama administration to get America ready for the impending crisis of the climate change. And we're going to lose all these cities on the seaboard and the giant storms.
Not Martha's Vineyard, apparently.
Right? Right. And then Al Gore, and I'll do my Al Gore impression. He also has a beach house, and I don't know, you know, the joint, when do you sell it? You know, there's so much comedically there. So I did this video for YouTube, and I did it in stand-up last night. It's going in the act. It's going in the act. Because anytime I get to do my super delicious Al Gore impression, I'm just delighted. And then first of all, and I'm not hating on the Obamas. For a lot of people are calling him a hypocrite for like just having this kind of money, But like, I don't care. I really don't. If he has a huge book deal, I get it. He was leader of the free world. He has his like own deal with Netflix. Okay, that's the game. So that notion aside, I did this hunk, and then I posted a link to it on Twitter as well, because you got to promote, you know what I'm saying? You got to promote when you do something super funny. And this guy like tweets me back, and he's like, I thought he was mad at me. And he's like, this is outrageous. Can you take that down? How did they put that on there? And I'm like, this guy must hate the logo. Like he must hate the Loftus Party logo. So I go back and I look at Twitter, and I can, or YouTube. And I cannot take it off, but they have put a banner at the bottom of my video. It's crazy, and I'm opening it up right now so I can look. So you might hear it play in the background just momentarily before I can skip the ad. So the title of the video is The Problem with Climate Change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cannot get rid of this. It's just embedded on the video, and it's got like a little picture of an ice sheet, and it says global warming. Global warming is the long-term rise in the average temperature of the Earth's climate system, an aspect of current climate change shown by ... And then there's a link to Wikipedia.
On your video?
On my video.
Who uses Wikipedia as a source?
YouTube, Google, evidently. And like, at first, I wasn't outraged by it. I'm like, okay, whatever. Because they haven't demonetized the video. But I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. They are playing hardball. Like, they're like, okay, we will let you tell your, and they're obvious jokes. They're obvious jokes. And I think that's why they didn't demonetize it. But man, oh man, they just, and I can't get rid of it. It's on there. So I think what they're trying to do is like a little, kung fu on me. A little kung fu, like, okay, you want to joke about global warming? We're going to embed a link onto your video with a banner talking about just it's real, it's non-disputable, and here's the link to Wikipedia. Like, Wikipedia? So, actually, now that I talk about it, I'm getting more outraged.
Well,
I'm getting more outraged.
Did you see that the climate cabal took a huge hit this week?
No, I did not. What happened?
Michael Mann, do you remember the hockey stick graph?
No, I don't. And when I hear Michael Mann, isn't that the famous director?
No, this guy's a climatologist, climate scientist.
Okay.
So the hockey stick graph was used by the UN committees and the climate folks in general, right? To promote this whole idea that in a very short period of time, the climate or the temperature is going to rise on the Earth in a hockey stick, meaning it's going to go up very quickly, right?
Yeah.
Well, he, Michael Mann, decided to sue someone who had disputed his claims for libel, right? And so, in order to prove the libel, the person he sued said, you have to, in discovery, let's see your data, right? Let's see the data that you used to create this graph. He refused to provide it. So the judge kicked his case out of court because you can't prove it's libel if you don't show us the research, right?
Yeah.
And so he will not show the data, probably because it's bogus.
Well, that's my whole beef with climate change. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's my whole, because like sometimes, like Elizabeth Warren, just like, it's the hottest July on record. It's the warmest.
No,
it's heating up. The Earth's on fire. But and then like
74 degrees in Georgia today.
It's not even close.
No.
And like, so she didn't fact check that. She didn't. So it's like, and I guess this is what the left hates about. They say Donald Trump, he's a liar. He's a liar. And to me, it's like, he's just a New York guy. And that's just how New Yorkers talk. Just loosey goosey. And it's like, when they go, oh, he lied, he's either obviously doing a bit or obviously being sarcastic. Or like
what they did with this thing this year. I'm the chosen one or something, and they all melted down. It's like it was a freaking joke.
Exactly, and he like looks at the sky and like he's like he legitimately does a bit, and they're like, oh my gosh, he calls himself the chosen one, blah 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 blah. And then so just when you're so outraged about that, like, come on, we're pretending that you don't know this is a joke. You go to Newsweek. Somebody put this out there, and I retweeted it, where Newsweek legitimately had a cover with Obama on it, where they're like, the chosen one, like
the second coming, I think it said.
Second coming, like, oh my gosh, Trump does something as a joke. And like they legitimately did it with Obama in reality. So the hypocrisy, it's just the hypocrisy of it all.
And
but,
the whole thing when he made the comment about, you know, American Jews voting for Democrats would be disloyal.
Yeah.
Like he missed a couple qualifiers, because if you're a religious Jew that cares about Judaism, then yeah, voting for Democrats would be really hard. But are you really going to pounce on that non-specific comment where he didn't clarify his meaning when you've got Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar out there? Like, are you serious?
Exactly. And it's like, and it drives me crazy. It just like, and this is the thing, it's like, it's so easy to just like, just get really upset and you want to pull your hair out and smash something. But like, legitimately.
You gotta make fun of them. You gotta.
Yeah. Like Beto O'Rourke today tweeted out that here's a picture of the KKK. Are these very fine people like you said they were, Donald Trump? Something like that. And you're just like, dude, you know.
It was like six dudes.
But like the whole very fine people on both sides. Even yeah. CNN doesn't run that one anymore. Even they have given up on that. It's just, it's very frustrating.
No, they haven't. It was just on Anderson Cooper the other day with Spike Lee over that 1619 project, that pile of hot garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that leaked staff meeting from the New York Times was something else. Here's my new theory.
Okay. I love theories.
All of these baby boomers that are in charge of these media networks are terrified of their woke little interns and new employees.
Oh.
Like, they're terrified of them. If you read the transcript from that New York Times editorial meeting where they decided to go with from Russia, Russia, Russia to racism, 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 and now we're starting to see recession, recession, recession.
Yeah.
All R's. Like, legit, it's like you had interns and younger staffers saying, I don't even understand why it's a question if the president is a racist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big question.
Yeah. Here's a little inside scoop for you, and I'm not going to name names, but I have some acquaintances, some people in my little circle who are captains of industry, and these are big companies, and they have friends that also run big companies. And like these people, the word on the street is they're very hesitant to hire like millennials, mm-hmm. and they're especially hesitant about hiring women now. It's just too funny, like cosmically, the karma of it all. When you are walking into a workplace and you've got a chip on your shoulder and you're looking for the inequality. You're looking for the inequality and you are not afraid to sue and you are not afraid to speak your truth. You're a liability. And so they don't even want to take the chance. So I really think that like women in the workplace, you could be looking at you having a hard time because like who's going to sue? Who's going to sue me? Where is the possibility of a lawsuit? That girl from Brown. Nope. I think right. Her resume just got lost.
Well, and now we're like dealing with the biggest. It's just great. Article in the New York Times at 2:45 today. This is brand new, right?
Brand new. Hot off the presses.
A loose network of conservative operatives allied with the White House is pursuing what they say will be an aggressive operation to discredit news organizations deemed hostile to the president by publicizing damaging information about journalists. So basically, the New York Times is crying because a bunch of conservative activists have gone through the Twitter timelines and public postings of journalists who belong to these completely anti-Trump outlets and are getting ready to publicize them. This is the same networks that doxed a bunch of high school kids because one happened to wear a MAGA hat, right?
Yup, yup.
Doxed a freaking meme maker, right?
Yup.
I mean, you really want to get your panties in a wad about this after you've literally doxed private citizens?
It's what's the old phrase? It's okay for thee, but not for me. It's okay for me, but not for thee. Something like that. Like when they do it, it's just we're standing up, we're speaking our truth, we're fighting for justice, we're fighting for equality. And then when you do it back, they're like, oh my gosh, it's a witch hunt.
It's
like Nazi Germany.
It's the latest step in a long-running effort. This is the New York Times by Mr. Trump and his allies to undercut the influence of legitimate news reporting. This is the paper whose editor is now on record saying racism is going to be the basis for every story we write.
Yeah.
And they're talking about themselves as legitimate news reporting.
It's so It's so bald-faced, and it's so big, and it's so just such a colossal pile of garbage. It's hard to wrap your brain around it. And then when they get indignant, like, oh my goodness, it's just it's delightful. It's delightful for people like us. And once again, it's.
I mean, this is what media.
It's just more proof.
This is what Media Matters does to people on the right every day. It's what they've been doing to Tucker Carlson for months, and now they're doing it to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
And you're going to cry in the paper of record that somebody's now turning the turn. Like, how long did you think you were going to do this before there was pushback?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every action, kids, has an equal and opposite reaction.
Well, this comes back. This is like to the full circle of like why we're here and what we're doing and why I'm trying to do, you know, shows on the road. It's like we need converts, because if you explain this seriously, if you had friends on the left, I do. I have tons. And if you can walk them through it, I don't like. I'm looking to increase the number of people on the pro-liberty, pro-personal responsibility. Just don't rely on the government for solutions. That's what I'm trying to do. I just want to have a good time, and I want to convert more people. It's like, how do you do it? Like, this is good. You know, we've got the podcast. We're talking about, you know, the New York Times and stuff. But like, I love the idea, and it's obviously why I'm doing it. But like going on the road and just celebrating. Like it's madness. It's madness. And if you and Trump, like legitimately, that dude has to be pretty darn patient. He's got to be like I'd be losing my mind. There's that old thing of like, you know, anybody be a better president than him? Not me. I would be on fire some days. Then my whole staff would be like, Mike, you can't do that. Mike, don't. I'm like, shut up. And I totally regret it the next day. But like, for people who say Trump tweets too much, I'd be going off about this. I'd be going off about just the blatant lies, And like, I know Trump has a beef with like Donna Brazile being over on Fox News. And you're like, really? And then you start to question yourself, like, was I misled? But like, I could have sworn, wasn't she the person that gave the debate questions to Hillary? Like, isn't that still a thing? Isn't that still taboo?
Yeah, I mean, the one person I legit can't listen to that's on that network every day is Juan Williams. I just seriously can't listen to him.
Juan does his job very well.
He does his job very well, but it is so, I mean, you see Jesse Waters sitting there and he just wants to like laugh out loud. Like
it's,
what Juan Williams says is so ridiculous.
Well, he's got to, you know, you need that. You need conflict in a show.
I get but that, like, but it's
don't
just
you feel, like, let me, just serious question. Don't you feel like if you were to hang out with Juan Williams for an afternoon, you could get him to vote like Republican? Don't you think
his
that like
son
you could,
does.
Like,
his son is like a conservative activist.
I think that's hilarious.
I don't know. I mean, he's on Guy Benson's radio show all the time, and I literally just turn it off. I can't listen to it.
Well, it's to me. I don't know. I feel like I would like Juan Williams. Like I would get along with him.
I feel like I could have a beer with him, and if he lived in my neighborhood, I'd invite him to the barbecue. But I can't listen to his political commentary.
Yeah, know what? And it's weird, but like in thinking about it, I feel like I would get along with Donna Brazile too. Like I feel like I could hang out with her. But the other thing is like, and I honestly think this. Like if you give me enough time. If you give me enough time, I can convert all of them. I can convert all of them. I really do.
Oh, I gotta send you this article though, because it is just wow. Oh my God.
Well,
it's an attack on the free press.
It's
no,
very
it's not. It's like exposing your bias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully it'll keep going because you never had this balancing of the scales after Reagan. Like, Reagan, and hopefully a lot of the people who listen to this show are younger and all this stuff, but like, you guys, Reagan was completely vilified. Reagan was Hitler. He was horrible. He was a dictator. He was out of his mind.
He was senile.
Crazy.
Yep.
He was an imbecile. He was a bedtime for Bonzo. He was, like, going to get us into World War III. They literally did movies about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that big made-for-TV movie the day after where a nuclear event had happened, and here's the horrible. Like, they went after Reagan hardcore, but there wasn't the internet. There wasn't social media. There wasn't any of this. So historically, we're living through it. We're living through it. This is the most, I have never seen anything like it, where just complete lies and fabrications and name calling and vilifying like the people who vote for Trump and the people who plan on voting for Trump. If you support this president, you're a Nazi. That's like the legit headline. And it's like, I've never seen anything like it.
And
then if you look at, if you reverse engineer these statements and what the, you know, what these reporters are saying, like, well, that is not true. That is factually not true.
Right?
They're smart people. They know it's not true. It is legit propaganda. What is going on? That's the question I have. And it's just like, they're just elitists, and they must think they're smarter than all of us, and you're not.
I mean, that was evident during the 2016 election. But how long have mainstream commentators on the right been responding to this and saying, you can't go around calling half the country racist? It's not going to work. This is part of how it doesn't work, right? If you want to start pulling
I don't know that it doesn't.
If you want to start pulling podcasts from Bubba the Love Sponge, where Tucker Carlson said something while he was working for either CNN or MSNBC, right? And you want to try to make an issue of that and literally ruin this man's livelihood, at some point, when you've done this enough, we're going to turn it around. I mean, that's what Truth Revolt was for a while.
Yeah.
Is it Truth Revolt? The one that combated, that just started going back and forth with Media Matters. Like, you're going to do this. We're going to do this to Lawrence O'Donnell over here. Da, 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 da. Same tactics, right?
Yeah.
Well, now some people have decided to use the same tactics you guys have been using for the last couple months. Congratulations.
Well, here's my concern. Here's my concern.
You own it.
And this is my hairdresser rule.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who cuts my hair, I've known her for a million years. She's fantastic, wonderful person. However, she doesn't follow politics. She kind of casually is aware. She will occasionally watch CNN and she'll occasionally watch MSNBC, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. She's not, so she's like legit horrified. And I think that there is a, and I don't want to underestimate those people across America. Like, I follow the news, you follow the news. We have to be informed. It's our job. It's our livelihood. I like telling jokes about it. I like bringing it up. But it's like, I think there are a boatload of people who are buying it. They're drinking the CNN Kool-Aid, and they're like, "Wow, I can't vote for this guy because it's just like Hitler." And they're terrified. If you look at Facebook, and here's another thing you guys should do: like weird stuff on Facebook just to mess with the algorithm. Because now you're not seeing people, you're not seeing your friends' feeds in real time. They're suggesting a lot of things to you. So like weird stuff, just throw off the algorithm. But I'll like. And this is what happened with my buddy, you know, who very smart guy, comparing Trump to Hitler. But it's like, I think it's being effective. And that's legitimately, it's one of the reasons why I'm going on the road. Like, we have to keep making fun of this and just trying to live our best lives and making fun of it at the same time. Because it's ridiculous on the surface. But the more you think about it and the more you dig down to it, it gets really nefarious really quickly.
Yep.
Like, it gets like, you can go to some dark places. You can go to some dark places just on the spin. Like, why would they do that? Like, why would the media put that spin? What? And to, then you realize, and this is getting into like legit conspiracy theories, but the media is not as big as everyone thinks. There's not like 110 or 150 different people who own different media companies. It's a very small number of people. Mm-hmm. And at one conference call, and, you know, there's that very, well, somewhat famous, you probably remember it. It was from 2016 where somebody recorded Chuck Schumer's conference call with the DNC. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? And they released it. And he's like, here's our talking points. We want to make sure we say this over and over again. Here's how we're framing this. So, like, literally, you get your marching orders and then you go. And for more to back this up, if you go back and you look at Trump's inaugural address when he became president and he gave a speech, there was like, it was a very dark speech, very dark, 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 dark days, dark speech, dark, dark, dark. And it's like, wow. So they all got the, you know, here's how we're going to frame it. And like, who decides that? So anyway, it's not funny, but it's, no. I apologize for going down that
rabbit
hole.
What is kind of funny for people like you and I who are involved and do stay up, I'm subscribed on Facebook to the Daily Wire. I'm subscribed to Conservative Review. I'm subscribed to the Loftus Party, right? I've liked the pages. They should show up in my feed, right?
Yes.
No, you know what showed up in my feed today? The New York freaking Times. I do not like that page.
It's, listen, the algorithm is real, and it's too funny. Someone on the YouTube channel, I was getting caught up the other day, and I was going back to the content, and somebody who subscribes to the channel was just like, this is, I thought I subscribed to you. But then I had been unsubscribed, so I tried to resubscribe again. It was really hard to find this channel. He goes, dude, you have to look into it. I think you're being shadow banned. And I'm pretty sure I am. Yeah, that's on YouTube.
Oh.
Facebook's dialed me way back. There's, oh my gosh, I can go back through previous posts where, and I remember I said something about it on this show. I'm like, holy crap, Gypsy, the Facebook reach for the Loftus Party Facebook page was well over 500,000 people. Well over half a million people. Man, it ain't that no more. But we got to circle the wagons. We got to circle. So, oh my gosh. So listen to this. So in terms of key phrases that you know, do the machine. I know that if you do MAGA, that's a huge one. That's a huge red light on Facebook. That's why we're changing the name of the comedy show. The thing I'm going out. Me, Chad Prather, Reno Collier. We discussed it, and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it to know we will never be able to buy an ad on Facebook. We will never get our stuff shared. And so we're going to change the name. So we're kicking that around. We should announce that on Monday. Holy crap. Chad Prather, who I'm so glad he's going on the road. I'm very much looking forward to these shows. He's a funny dude. He's well-spoken. He's in a legit force of nature on Facebook. He's got like 1.8 million people who follow Watch Chad Prather. Mm-hmm. And he's like, please share. Please share Trips the AI too. It's like, no one really knows unless you work for Facebook, but I'm pretty sure Chad has a pretty good handle on what triggers it and what doesn't it. And so when you're on the right and you think you're being shadow banned or you're being dialed down, so your first instinct is to go, hey, I think I'm being shadow. I'm sure shadow banned triggers it as well. And it's like, I answered this guy on YouTube. Like, I probably am. My analytics show that I am. Everything, you know, I'm not a scientist, but when I look at how many people are watching and the reach, I'm pretty sure I am. But what can I do but just keep going? What can I do but just keep going? So now it's like I'm literally going on the road. I'm going to go across the country and tell jokes and hopefully make new friends. And they'll follow her and they'll, you know, follow on Facebook and go to the Loftus Party and all that stuff. But like, what else can you do?
You can go to a platform that doesn't shadow ban.
Clout Hub.
Exactly.
I'm gonna do that show. I'm gonna do that show on Cloud Hub. Listen, I'm gonna totally cross promote. I'm totally cross promoting. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you guys have, I'm gonna but do if, that TV if, show. If I was talking to a producer over there last week at Cloud Hub, and one of the things that I'm gonna need is like some kind of like literature, like pamphlets, something. But like when I'm out on the road, crisscrossing the country, I totally like old school, like town crier. Here, take a flyer. Take a flyer.
Yeah, no, we can definitely get you some materials, but I mean, my whole thing is you've got a platform out there that's expanding. We'll have a whole bunch of new features by the end of the year, right? And literally, how things trend on that platform is how many times they get clicked on.
Yeah.
Or what is the most popular in terms of being clicked on or used? What is the most popular in terms of comments? You can look at it a couple different ways. So, like, where's the really interesting discussion, right? But
yeah,
it's like YouTube used to be. And it will be like Twitter used to be and like Facebook used to be. When you subscribe to something or say you're interested in something, they'll actually send you what you're interested in.
What a concept. Wait. I can't wait. Hopefully you guys just keep going, and we'll start a little groundswell.
Legit, as a user, right? If you don't want to be manipulated by a platform or by a search engine, we need more things like Brave, which is a browser, and DuckDuckGo, which is a search engine, and Clout Hub, that doesn't... Literally, the people who manage those companies have no vested interest in managing your perspective. None. Whereas Twitter and Facebook do.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely fighting the good fight. And because Google's got some power, YouTube's got some power, Facebook has some power. So I'm just going to like... When people do startups, I'll definitely give it the old college try, and you know, that's all you can do. People always say that. Make your own platform. And then people make awesome platforms. Well, you gotta go. You gotta support them. You gotta do the thing. You got to do the thing.
So they're not gonna try to silence you. Right now, they want people from all perspectives over there. They've literally set up a red room, a blue room, and a main room. So if you just want to talk to people that think like you, you can. If you want to talk to everybody, you can. But, you know, it's completely infuriating in so many different ways.
It is. It's crazy. It's madness. And then it's got to be... like a legit, just like a word of mouth and a friend telling a friend, oh, I found this thing, you should try it. And there's no shortcuts to it. You just gotta, you know, build something awesome and have people use it and have it work and be easy and be wonderful and good. We'll see what happens. It's always funny to watch people try to promote something that is not popular as being popular. It's like what Disney's trying to do right now with Star Wars and the Rise of Skywalker. It's just, there was like, they had their big Disney expo the other day, and they made this blatant attempt to just try to tell people something's popular when it's not, when it's losing popularity. And Rise of Skywalker, they had a new poster come out, and the more I think about it, the more it just upsets me, because in the trailer for the latest Star Wars film, and you listen to this podcast, you guys, you know that I'm a big Star Wars nut, I'm a big sci-fi guy, I'm a big anime guy, I don't care who knows it. So Return of the Jedi was just such hot garbage, and it was just so damaging.
You mean The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi, yeah. Just did so much damage, and it's hard to wrap your brain around it. So what they're doing now, they're trying to throw the hardcore fans a bone. They got this poster for the Rise of Skywalker, and it's Rey, and she's fighting Kylo Ren on a hunk of a spaceship or something, and then looking above them, if you go up the poster, looking at them, is the Emperor, like the Emperor from the classic Star Wars, from like A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, that guy.
That guy?
That guy. Yeah, yeah, that guy. Now, in the trailer, the only trailer that they've released, they show all these cool things going on, and I'll give it up for J.J. Abrams. The guy can put together a shot. He can make some beautiful images go pie your eyeballs on screen, and at the end of the trailer, you hear the Emperor laugh, and you're like, whoa, intriguing. What's that all about? And now, it's like the way they have the Emperor positioned on the poster, it's like, oh, that's the villain. Oh, that's the villain. So then it drives me crazy as a writer and someone. So who was Snoke? What's that all about? And then you're like, wait a minute, what's the Emperor even doing there? That dude is dead. And if you can bring him back from the dead, you can bring anybody back from the dead. And why isn't Han Solo in this one? And it's just, and then it's exactly. And it just becomes ridiculous. It just becomes ridiculous.
How are you going to put Leia in it? Because you should have just killed her off when you had the chance.
It's just horrible. It's just horrible. And this comes on the tail end of a week, a pretty good Star Wars week. We put the trailer for The Mandalorian on the Loftus Party channel. This is Jon Favreau, the guy who directed Iron Man. He played Happy in Iron Man. He was an actor and he wrote Swingers. He's a great director and he loves the. So he directed this thing for Disney's version of Netflix, Disney Plus, called The Mandalorian. It's a guy from the same planet that gave us Boba Fett, and he's a bounty hunter, too, and he's a total badass.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was just like, nah.
I don't know. I saw it, and I'm like, I'm getting Disney Plus. I will get Disney Plus just to watch that show. And then they dangle this carrot. Ewan McGregor's coming back as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's going to do a series on Disney Plus. I don't know who's directing. I don't know who else is attached, but I'm like, yup, I'm in for that. And then here's the problem. Your tentpole series, your Star Wars movies are garbage. And if you think you can just throw out a picture of Emperor Palpatine, who is dead, and think I'll come back, what do you think, I'm an idiot? You think I'm a moron? It insults my intelligence. I'm offended by it. This might be the first Star Wars movie I don't go see in the movie theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And I'll just walk you guys through just here's what you don't do. So J.J. Abrams sets up, okay, we got this girl who's Luke Skywalker's daughter. Then we got Snoke.
Know that who's now?
It's obvious. That's what J.J. Abrams was setting up. Just obvious.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's where he wanted, but they didn't have a map. They didn't have a plan for, okay, episode one will do this, episode two this, and then episode three it'll conclude with this. George Lucas at least had some kind of map when he started, you know,
well,
begin, middle, end.
What chick was Luke ever involved with?
Exactly. But that's the mystery. Like that's what you want to find out. So that's what you're setting up. And then in episode two, Rian Johnson, like, it's criminal what that guy did. It's criminal. Goes out of his way to say Rey is nobody. Nope, that's not Luke's daughter. She's a nobody. Snoke, that big villain, oh, he's dead. We killed him. It's just like, what are you supposed to do? Now you're going to introduce, and this was my problem with Captain Marvel, too. That was my big concern about Captain Marvel. You're going to introduce, a new villain in the third act? It's horrible. It's horrible. It's disgusting, and I don't care for it. It's disgusting. I have to couch it now because I'll get angry. It's insulting. It's insulting. You can't just kill people and bring them back. And there's a fan theory now that like the Emperor Palpatine, like his evil spirit inhabited the flipping helmet of Darth Vader, and that's how he got off the Death Star. Yeah, like the evil ghost of the Emperor was living in Darth Vader's helmet, and then when Kylo Ren put on the helmet, the evil spirit inhabited him. I don't know. It's just they're grasping at straws.
That has no basis.
And it's sad to watch. Yeah, and let's just reflect what Rian Johnson did to the character of Luke Skywalker. Because this is one, it's just, you cannot believe that Disney let him get away with it. So Luke Skywalker, we saw this kid. His dad, he finds out his dad's Darth Vader. Darth Vader is responsible for the deaths of millions. Mm-hmm. He is responsible for the deaths of millions of people. He was complicit in the murder of every living soul on Alderaan. And people, even Yoda's like, dude, you're going to have to kill him. You're going to have to kill your own dad. And Luke's like, no, there's still good in him. So Luke confronts a guy who's responsible for the death of millions. And he's like, no, I think there's still good in you. Then you smash cut to Luke in Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi. And he has a vision that a teenager might do something bad. And he tries to kill him in his sleep. It's right. Just like... It's beyond ridiculous. It's sad. It's sad to watch. It's sad to watch.
You and know this, what else and is ridiculous and sad?
Hold on, because I just stumbled across this great metaphor. George Lucas is like the founding fathers. They had a great idea, right? Mm-hmm. And so our country flourished for like a couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. And now we've got the left, the Rian Johnsons of the world, who are just undercutting everything. Hey, that president you liked was really a racist. Hey, this good idea of everybody gets a gun, that's a bad idea. They're literally pulling, the left is pulling a Rian Johnson on the founding fathers. And we got to get back to basics. We got to get back to basics. Freedom of speech. Everybody gets a gun. Okay, there you go. I just had to wrap that up in a little bow. What were you going to say? What else is bizarre?
No, ridiculous and sad.
Oh, okay. Let's go. Ridiculous and sad.
Joe Walsh has announced he's primarying President Trump.
That guy. Who is that dude?
He was a congressman from Illinois, and then he was a huge Trump supporter in 2016. And one of the funniest things going on Twitter right now is everybody going and retweeting his election tweets, which are a freaking riot. Yeah. Given what he's been on a tear about, you know, for the last 2 weeks. Trump has got to go. Trump has got to go. Trump has got to go. Like, I think he wants a media gig. But, yeah, Bill Kristol and the boys are putting him out there to primary President Trump. Wow.
It's sad to watch.
It's
like
desperate.
The people are smart. People are smart. And this is what I'm counting on. And they can see through it. They can see through it. You're like, okay, obviously there's I'm not going to get anything out of this. So now I'm going to flip and say the guy is Hitler and so I'll get a gig on MSNBC or CNN. Like Bill Criss will get some airtime on MSNBC. But like Scaramucci did it too. Like Scaramucci, like, dude, what was he? He was in the White House for what, 11 days? That's it.
Right.
And even then, as a guy who leans right, I'm like, ooh, that's a bad hire. That's a bad hire right there. And then, oh, look, is anyone surprised that Scaramucci flipped? Is anybody surprised? It's like Omarosa. Omarosa. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So she was in the White House, and then she flipped on the president. He said this. He's like, it's just so transparent and so insanely boring. And like, you're gonna be a lonely. Like Joe Walsh is gonna be a lonely dude. You're a lonely dude because obviously now you have no principles. You have no principles.
Well, you have no principles, and you also have no home. Because if you think for a minute the left is still gonna love you when Trump is gone. You're out of your freaking mind. It's every bit as hypocritical, right, as them all mooning over John McCain today because it's the anniversary of his passing, when in 2008, he was a Nazi.
Yeah. John McCain, his office, and this, I haven't heard anybody say that this isn't true. Judicial Watch was looking into it. I have a lot of faith in Judicial Watch. It looks like when that whole IRS scandal, and you wonder, like, why didn't heads roll during the IRS scandal? And this just, it fits, that the idea of sicking the IRS on Tea Party groups, That idea was born out of John McCain's office.
Oh, yeah. The Republican Party hated the Tea Party.
Yeah. So, hate.
Why do you think they still hate Ted Cruz so much?
Yeah. Old Teddy Cruz, he's getting on it. He's going after Google and Facebook. Okay, so here's some things to look forward to in the upcoming week. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you saw the Saturday Booty. Saturday Booty was great. It was shiny booty, and it's too funny. But like, I love doing it. I love doing it, and I'm never gonna stop. I don't want to stop with Ta Ta Tuesdays or the Saturday Booty because it shakes the prudes loose. It shakes, like, if you are that prudish, if you are so uncomfortable with, like, seeing a perfectly good booty that you're like, oh, I got to get out of here. Like, I legit, I don't want you on the team. I don't want you on the, like, I'm going to reinvent. I'm going to slowly but surely reinvent the right. And if you can't handle it, it's just too funny. Because I'll put up a picture of a Saturday booty. It's like, it's not like hardcore. It's not like Hustler or anything. This is like, it's just funny when you look like, oh, I lost some Instagram followers. Well, good. Didn't want you around anyway. Okay, so here's some things to look forward to. We're going to announce the new name for the comedy show. We're going to find something that's not going to be clipped away. So that'll be coming up probably today as this comes out on Monday. We'll probably announce that today or maybe Tuesday. I'm going to be doing a little show on Wednesday, I believe, about Clout Hub. Getting into that a little bit deeper. And then, of course, holy smokes, all the wonderful articles and stuff on theloftistparty.com. If you guys who listens to the show ever want to comment, I will always comment back at theloftistparty.com. I'm really going to try to, I feel this probably bears repeating before we go. That's like, you can post stuff too. This is not hey, let's sit back and watch what these people present to us. There's also like, oh my gosh, I just found this great piece of new music. This is no lie. This is legit by this band called The Shivas. The video, meh, it's kind of like a throwback horror movie video, but the music is fantastic. When you're like, wow, what happened to rock and roll? What happened to like great band? This is, I'm insanely proud. So when you find something cool, you can post it, you guys. All you have to do is sign in. It takes a couple seconds. You sign in, you can just post the little clip from YouTube. Hey, here's a band I saw. Hey, here's a company that I think is cool. Hey, here's a news article that I think is interesting. Hey, here's a great place to take a vacation. Hey, there's a company down the road from me that makes this great single malt scotch. That kind of stuff. So I'm inviting everybody to participate. And I would be remiss in my duties if I did not mention the Trump 2020 pouches. If you want to get rid of moisture, humidity, anywhere in your house, gun safe, bathroom, closet, get one of these things. I've been using mine now. It's got to be well over a month. It's insane. Still smells fantastic, and it's doing a number. It's doing a number by my shoes. And buy the gym bag and all that good stuff. So go to Trump2020pouches.com. Go grab a handful of those. Use the code word MAGA. You'll get a free one because we're hooking you up. Have a great week, everybody. Go to theloftistparty.com. Participate.